friends, we start with chapter 2 on trade institutions and policies. Essentially, this chapter will have three divides. First of all, we will understand various global institutions driving change in the trade across the globe. Then we will understand India's trade policies. And last is India's international trade development strategy to become the powerhouse. Now, when you say the trade itself, it means transfer of ownership of the goods or the service that you have to the other person. Of course, when you transfer that, you expect something in return, which is the exchange. Either exchange can be same some product or the service or money. So how it happened, how it started, everywhere because of inequality of or diverse nature of raw material and goods available, somewhere something getting surplus produced. Now that surplus has to be disposed of. Disposed of because some other country may be needing it. So like dry fruits and all are plenty of this production take place in Afghanistan and all those sites. While we need it, we cannot really produce what is needed by the Indian population. So you buy dry fruits from Afghanistan. So that's where. Now early days, there was give goods or service and takes some other goods or service, that was known as a barter trade. But later on, with the industrialization, mass production, etc., need to approach various market in a very mass manner, and that's where crossing the border became very essential. So the birth of international market started, and sea route became, you know, gave that momentum to the international trade. International commerce expanded. As it grew now, then you start realizing the challenges. Now, dispute between two international parties started happening. One country's, you know, business got adversely affected. So they create a UN cry. So that country has to do something to prevent goods coming from others. So they put certain excess barriers. Currencies are not same. Their values differ. So the fluctuation, how to handle. Okay. And economic growth is not equal. Some countries growing faster, some countries not growing. So these are the challenges started coming out. Now this needed an addressing, because otherwise the growth will not happen. So to create this kind of a solution, multilateral institutions were established at a very top level, macro level. Their role is to see the fairness in the trade, regulate the economic cooperation between various countries, where necessary, provide financial assistance, etc., so that all-round growth happens. So, to give you a perspective, I'm just touching on this ease of doing business in India. So, that's a very sound example to take. As the liberalization started, okay, we adopted liberalization. Post-90, we opened our economy for competition to come in. Okay, despite that, till 2014, India was not recognized as the most preferred location for foreign car partners. Lot of bureaucracy, lot of license raj, etc. So when the new government of under Mr. Narendra Modi ji came in, they created what you call single window clearance. Okay, you don't have to go to different departments, etc. No unwarranted licenses, and various procedural simplification has happened. Due to which India is now ranking among 63rd in terms of index of ease of doing business vis-a-vis 134 in 2014. Okay, this is like our ranking across 190 countries. So you understand that this is a power of internationalization of your business, so that more and more people wants to do business with you. So what we try to understand now is the demographic changes and how they influence on the trade. Now demographically, when you see, it has to do with the population profile, okay, and economic growth that is happening. Not only that, how the age distribution of the living population, all this thing will have an impact. Okay, Africa, so for example, has seen their global population growing so much. India is still the most populous country, accounting for almost 59.5% of the world. Now look at this, you know, as a result, every country will have a specific composition of their population, be it skilled versus unskilled, literate versus illiterate, age bracket wise also, old, young, you know, senior citizens, etc. So now this also impacts the availability of labor. Okay, so that will translate into the production capabilities. Demographically, the infrastructure is available, technology is provided, you know, the production capabilities will also be different. Consumption pattern of the population will change depending on their demographic profile. Higher disposable income means they will want to spend more in getting certain conveniences, certain luxuries of life. This shift underscores, therefore, the importance of demographic factors in changing the global trade dynamics. Okay, so industrialization, now we will come to understand after trade, we come to understand demographic, we understood now the industrialization perspective. Industrialization means overall mass production, mass marketing, etc. is the force that is swept across world. First wave of globalization that led to improvisation in the transportation and communication system. So the access to market became possible. Digital platform has created another dimension where goods and service exchange is also possible. The various new nature of goods came in. In IT, for example, coding is done in one country, but the software is transferred for use, final use to the other country, etc. Spotify, download music. So even those kind of things became viable. Okay. Digitally deliverable exports, which is also what I told you, even in the financial services, assistance, consultancy, etc. So that's what I mentioned. The digitalization of the trade finance has also become possible through the internet remittances of money. Okay, so all those things made industrialization growing faster. Business can grow rapidly. On the other hand, the cost of spreading business will not be so high. So that's the control on the trade cost. The next is the financial accessibility and its role. Access to financial resources is very, very crucial for your success in international trade. Now, financial system to encourage business to start, encourage business to do trading, encourage business to remain viable, face the vagaries of the market, all are needed. So financial system must come in various stages of the business. Okay. So therefore, the instruments like trade credit, export financing, and various such natures have started being conceptualized and made accessible to the entrepreneurs. The digitalization of the trade finance represents significant milestone in enhancing the efficiency and accessibility of trade relation financial services. So today the T-vendor is not afraid when you do a UPI transaction for just 20 rupees. He knows that he receives the money. Okay, so that's where you've seen that how our UPI system is now technologies. Now we export that to other countries. Okay, so this is what is the power. Money gets swiftly transferred. Earlier, I remember the sending money, you have to do the demand draft. Demand draft taking itself is so painful, very long process, and then it takes, you send a demand draft to the other party, he deposits. So like almost 7 to 15 days now, quickly, depending on you, IMPS if you use on NTSC. So that's what, you know, how you RTGS or what you choose according to the speed of transaction is taking place. So now it's a time for us to understand various institutions that has played a pivotal role in the shaping of the international trade. One primary body is the World Trade Organization, identified as WTO, established in 1955. It's an output of General Agreement of Tariff and Trade. GATT is the first universal, kind of unification of various countries agreeing that international business needs to be promoted by minimizing barriers, and WTO came out of that. Okay, so now their role is to really get into help the producer of goods, service, and importers to conduct their business freely across different nations. Okay, today in WTO, 164 countries are the member, and they collectively account for 98% of the global trade. So you know the power. If they unify, how it can change the global business. So with various initiatives and policy changes that they have brought in, world trade has grown about 360% between 2000 to 2019. Okay. So what do the WTO do, and what are they responsible for? They have to ensure that they get into agreement in terms of goods, services, and traded inventions, okay, protect the designs, etc. So how one country of origin can do this, and when they transfer, how their interest is taken care of. Overseas, about 60 global and around 300 regional trade agreements. So when any agreements is getting formed on the global trade, they oversee it in terms of that utility, restrictiveness or openness, etc. Okay, so this forum governs various negotiations required to arrive at a friendly trade agreement. Disputes also between the countries can be resolved through WTO. They have a mechanism. They have administering WTO agreements. When they do that, they monitor national trade policies. So every country during their budget or subsequently when they announce certain trade policies, etc., WTO assesses its impact, favorable, adverse, or restrictiveness. Okay. WTO also offers technical assistance and training for country to really come up to a stage where they can get into international business. So what all assistance is required, including technology support. So how to induct technology, how to bring the technology revolutions, etc. And they become pivotal in creating a cooperation between international organizations through various agreements and clarity thereof. Okay. WTO mechanism achieves positive solution of dispute. So they have a concept called dispute settlement understanding, under which there is a mechanism through which disputes can be handled. If a member country does not comply with the dispute and verdict which WTO gives, then they can impose sanctions. So they can create restrictions of various nature. They have ensured this time-bound dispute resolution system has ensured that the disputes gets resolved within a specified time. Earlier, it used to linger on, go on. Okay. So what is the key feature of this dispute resolution system? There are binding rules, okay, that every country has to follow when they file for the dispute settlement. Structured process. It includes initial level consultation, review by panel, then if it is still not resolved, goes to the appellate proceedings, and finally the verdict. Okay, so enforcing the verdict, so that is what they oversee. So there is a dispute settlement body who appoints expert to handle that, or the panel is formed by them. They create a monitoring mechanism, and then finally they either accept dispute or they reject, or they give their verdict, which is applicable to both the parties. Okay. And because the way they move and handle it, the timely resolution is ensured. Okay. So that's what they have, the mechanism, which gives in certain time-bound manner. So dispute is not allowed to go on infinitely. Okay. What is the role that this dispute resolution has played in the global trade? So this body is a one-stop shop for handling any trade dispute across the international market, okay? So they try and maintain fair trade practices. They try to be fair and support developing economy by offering structured legal framework. Developing economy means they do not have that much of a resource, monetary power, and, you know, process ability, etc. They play the role of supporting them. By enforcing trade rules effectively also, their decisions significantly have brought in the stability and economic growth. Now, this is before the current thing which we are witnessing due to due to government change, the war across the world, etc. That is a different learning. It is going to open a different learning. But as of before that, this is a role that WTO has really played. A certain preferential approach is given to acknowledge the importance of developing nation. They primarily try to support developing nation as much as against developed nation. So that's a non-reciprocal trade agreement. Here also, some benefit given to the developing country. It is not necessary that they have to give similar benefit to the country which is classified as developed nation. They provide extra time if there is a default, okay, by the developing nation. So though they have a time-bound dispute resolution, some leverages are given to developing nation if they fulfill, they do not fulfill due to some reason. They assist also there, okay. They provide greater market access. So they will orient themselves and reach out to those country and give it to them the idea as to their, this kind of a product can be sold in this part of the world because it is demanded. They kind of create a protectionism, or rather they protect the developing nation trader against exploitative practice, okay, if any. So like US blames that China is dumping, and likewise this is okay to developed nation, but there may be a case where developed nation dumps something in the developing nation and thereby they are trying to kill the industry in that area. So they create a preventive this thing for the body. They provide legal assistance if you need, and overall they create an inclusive global trade practices so that more and more country come together, more and more country do internal business, you know. So that's what, so what is very important feature of WTO is the concept called most favored nation, MFN status. So here one member country can give most favored nation status to the other country, okay, due to certain special consideration. Now this member country need not be a WTO member already. So thus member has to give the same, now here of course what is laid down is, if you are giving certain favorable treatment to one of the country, you must pass on that benefit to the other. You may not give them the MFN status, but you must pass on that benefit to the other body. So that's how the MFN status works. So for example, India gives Sri Lanka a most favored nation station, nation, that is the stature that we have given. And therefore gives 5% on prevailing tariff on sugar imports. So they have reduced the tariff, okay. So India must also give the same tariff to the other nation. You cannot have Sri Lanka 5%, others 20%, likewise. So this allows countries to do more trade with specific nature of a country where your interest is more. There may be other logistical advantage and various things, but they will have to consider all nation members same. So that's an equal treatment. So you have to pass on that benefit to the others also. Another feature of the World Trade Organization is a TRIPS concept, which is nothing but the standard for trade related aspects of intellectual property right. You know, intellectual property rights, something that you generate as a matter of literacy, art, content, etc. Or your product has some unique things, you know, so that manufacturing, etc. Which, so how do you protect all those things? So that is governed by the international, you know, intellectual property rights. So here also WTO helps. Now during the Uruguay round of a GATT body, which is a body that gave birth to the WTO, later it turned out to be the Doha Declaration. This, you do not get confused, but they meet several times and then they create a declaration. Now they have broadened the definition of what is international, what is intellectual property right, okay, and various items. So for example, medicines are now also added into it. So that's how they try to frame, you know, create a framework to protect the IP. So stands for another one, the TREAM. Another feature is a TREAM. Earlier was a TRIPS, which is to do with the intellectual property right. This is TREAM, related with the trade related investment measures. Okay. It is an international agreement defining rules that apply to the domestic regulations a country applies to foreign investors. So we as a country can impose certain regulations. So like when foreign direct investment is coming to India, they may have to comply with certain local financing regulations. So it's a part of the industrial policy that as a result, ambiguity prevails. So like we have to protect our local, say, media agencies, to protect our another few industry. We have not allowed 49% or a 26% investment by the foreign body, etc. So those kind of things are often there, which creates an ambiguity. But till now, country has been using it. When GATT resigned, kind of ended, and WTO became a full-fledged body, such measures started coming in. So you see that they are playing that vital role. Now, between India and World Trade Organization, how's the overall equation? It has helped India to expand their export. In 2022-23, India's merchandise exports reached $450 billion, while service export touched $322 billion. So this is like highest, so to say, reduction in tariff barriers. So making India goods more competitive in the international market. And this is due to various trade barriers removal steps taken by WTO. It gave an access to foreign market, granted preferential market access into certain regions, and thereby boosting exports to US, European Union, and Southeast Asia. WTO has helped in import liberalization and industrial growth by working on tariff reductions, and therefore Indian industries have a access to the cheaper markets and technology. Okay, so tariff is, you see, the restrictive imposition. If I want to discourage import of, say, steel in my country, I will, instead of 10%, I will charge 25%. So their import gets restricted. Same applies to the other markets. So World Trade Center has kind of talked to the other receiving country how they should, you know, give a better this thing to India goods access, thereby reducing certain tariffs, etc. Trade balances and challenges. Now, when you see that world business starts, you kind of import certain things amounting to, say, 100, you export goods amounting to, say, 70. That means you have created an imbalance of 30 because your imports are more than export. But if it is import is 100 and export is 130, then it's a surplus. Trade balance is there. So this is what concept you have to understand. So WTO works to see that this imbalance doesn't go out of control, which makes the another country whose trade imbalance has taken place, they ensure that the country do not get into the debt trap. That's what they also play that role. Then comes the next body called World Bank. The Bank for the World, as the name suggests, established in 1944. There are five different verticals to that. Their focus is to reducing trade barriers and enhancing the international trade, for which finance is one of the vertical that they try to help you with, and also involved in supporting restructuring and development of countries. So they not only play the role of only the trade, the growth. So you would have heard in number of occasions that this particular water supply project is supported by World Bank, or this particular highway infrastructure development is supported by World Bank. So that way they try to help the country to grow. Focus on common development across the world. So removal of poverty, you know, immunization, all this requires money, you know. So they try to support such countries. Five verticals that we spoke about. So it's like International Bank for Reconstruction and Development, IBRD. It's responsible to provide loan and assistance to middle income and creditworthy low income countries. Now, if we need not get into more deeper understanding about it, but this is how they evaluate whether this country qualifies for that assistance and then accordingly provides it if it qualifies. International Development Association, IDA, they provide concessional loan, so loan which is not very high interest, etc. And grants also is given to the world's poorest country. So for various things this poor country cannot do, but it is required to be done, then World Bank approaches them, provides that grants and ensure that grant is used to handle that problem. International Finance Corporation, IFC, focuses on private sector development by financing and advising business in developing nations. So they focus entirely on growing private business because they also contribute heavily in the international market. Then Multilateral Investment Guarantee Agency, MIGA, which is provides political risk insurance and credit enhancement to encourage foreign investment. If you are facing political risk, if you visualize political risk, okay, you can avail this and some credit enhancement because of your country's stature or whatever, you may not be getting higher credit, you can request. So for all those things can be facilitated through them. So these are those four, and fifth one is the International Center for Settlement of Investment Dispute, that is ICSID, which facilitates, as the word dispute is there, arbitration, means it will be an independent judge of the dispute, okay, and they try to resolve conflict between two parties. It may be two investors, two states, two countries. So that's the five vertical of World Bank that we have studied. So now we will study about how this institution impact the world trade. So what are the initiatives World Bank has taken? That will give us the idea. First and foremost, across the world, they have helped the infrastructure development. So they have funded various transportation, energy, digital connectivity related programs that will support developing nation and bring their economic growth. When they grow, then they participate in the international marketing. So various, I remember even not only transportation, so all this Golden Quadrilateral Triangle, or say Golden Quadrilateral Road, then the East-West, North-South road corridors, etc. They have all come up with the World Bank assistance, various solar energy projects, various wind farm projects. So that's how. Poverty reduction programs, they often do that, where we have been always a member. And they do that because if poverty is elevated, the financial inclusion will happen, their education will grow, their health will improve. And when you have a strong people, they become the good labor force. So it is very connected, impacts. Sustainable development and climate action, that's also, they play a very important role, making the entire trade and commerce green. Okay, so they promote green energy projects, climate resilience, and various sustainable urban development. So they address the environmental concern, and around that, how trade can be of assistance by reducing the harmful impact. Support for digital transformation, as I already said, they reach out to countries where such support is required, providing the internet access, supporting infrastructure, then providing digital literacy initiatives, so funding that so that poor can also get an access to digital learning, etc. Fintech innovation, so financial technology innovation that is happening. Fintech means all to do with the financial transactions. So how this leads to the strengthening of economy. So that's also the role they have played. Crisis response and recovery. So providing financial aid and policy guidance during global crisis, which is very visible during COVID. Okay, they have supported worldwide many countries to face certain financial, imbalances, financial issues, etc. Food security, where there is a food shortage, etc. Economic shocks, so how they prevent company facing such economic volatility, etc. due to the impact of COVID and overcoming them. Okay, other key roles like the policy reforms, they try and help you country do various policy reforms required to develop the economy and international trade. Okay, so that's for their contribution, and all this leads to, ultimately, as I told you, directly, indirectly, the growth in the international trade. The next institution, which is International Monetary Fund, IMF, many of you must have heard, it's an organization where 188 countries are member. It is working to foster global monetary cooperation, okay, provide financial stability to country, okay, facilitate international trade, so finance needed to promote international trade, create an employment opportunities, okay, and sustainable economic growth, for which various investments are required, climate protection. So then the funding comes from IMF and overall reduce poverty. World Trade Organization initiates program, World Bank or IMF, then depending on the jurisdiction, funds the various programs, okay. So IMF contribution is essentially in the global economy, and they have really played vital role giving money to see that the balance of payment related difficulties are overcome. Practical help beyond money, it's a guidance and, you know, helping with standard operating process and those kind of thing. IMF does that. So key functions of IMF is, first of all, the surveillance. So they do monitoring global economic trend. They identified, they can predict onset of, say, like recession or financial crisis, etc., and accordingly provide member country required advisories, financial assistance wherever required, providing them the financial support, okay, to launch a massive program, okay, or support against imbalance, balance of payment, etc. Thereby, they give a stability to the economy and gradually restore their growth. Okay. So we have been hearing about them in the recent past, where they have approved a large chunk of finance for almost insolvent country in our neighborhood. We may look at it critically, but I'm sure they have their own criteria. So essence is to understand what they do. Capacity development, offering technical assistance and training to help countries strengthen their capacity to design and implement effective policy. So wherever, so like say there is an ITI accreditation program where technology skills are imparted, vocational skills are given. So now all this program requires certain capacity to be developed. So for that, they come forward and support you. Not only that, it's not only monetary, this thing that one has to remember, they come out with various other consultative support as well. How's India vis-a-vis IMF? So India is a member, is a founding member. So we have been there with IMF since its inception. Today, we are very well placed as of February, as of 2025 February. India's quota in IMF stands at special drawing rights. So quota is termed as special drawing right. That is the amount that we are eligible to withdraw from IMF. So which is a whopping 13,000 million, you know, SDR that we have, making it the 8th largest quota holding country. So that way we have a surplus funding with them, and our voting share is of about 2.60%. Difficult for common people to understand, but what I'm trying to give you an idea about is we have a substantial reckoning within IMF. Financial position, India has not sought financial assistance from IFM since 1993, when we faced economic crisis. We have approached, at that time they helped us, but now we have surplus on most areas, including monetary surplus, including gold surplus, etc. So we are well placed. We have not taken any financial assistance. Special drawing right holding as of February, so that is what I mentioned, over $13,000, which is translating into 19.41 billion USD. So our foreign exchange buffer is very much in place. So we can really do the international business without insecurity. Recent development that IMF has enhanced Africa's representation. So in as of October 2024, IMF added African seat to its 25 members board. So Africa was inducted, aiming to address concerns about limited influence of African nations in funds policy making. So if you do not have a country participating, there's a possibility that you overrule the requirement. So now African, this thing has been added. So that gentleman or that person has to ensure that Africa's interest is taken care of while IMF frames any policies. Global economic outlook. So how IMF is looking at it, they really do predictable analysis on all. So IMF World Economic Outlook update January 2025 projects global growth to take place at the rate of 3.5% with emerging market. I have given you those names like China, India and a few other countries expected to grow at a faster pace than any advanced developed economy. IMF continues to play a pivotal role in promoting economic stability as a role. We have seen this earlier, providing financial assistance, providing policy advisories to the members so that their attention is like, you know, not only draw their attention, but they also become mainstream player in the economy development and then the international trade development. The next body or the agency about institution impacting the world is the International Trade Center, ITC. It's a joint agency of World Trade Organization and the United Nations. We have covered ITC when we discuss about World Trade, this thing, World Trade Organization, dedicated to promoting inclusive and sustainable trade development in developing and transition economies, poor to developing, developing to development, etc. Developed nations. So this is known as a transition. ITC helps small and medium-sized enterprise, SMEs as we call it in India, enhance their export potential. So they provide support to consider export. Okay, and how you can create a global market access. So they kind of help you there by and supporting you to improve your compatibility and, you know, competitiveness also. So that's the role ITC plays. Key functions, trade-related technical assistance. So any trade you need, any technical assistance, you can go to ITC. Market intelligence and capability building for the small and medium enterprise. So they provide idea about the market condition in other countries, what kind of a capacity gaps, etc. So they help you there. Sustainable and inclusive trade program so that they look at the gaps, disparity, etc. So like women-led business or a green trade. So there are the gaps identified by them and therefore they work on solving this as a issue. Policy support and trade facilitations that they do for various global business integration, and therefore ITC plays a very crucial role helping emerging economies, okay, like India, leverage trade as a driver of economic growth and reducing the poverty. India has in the recent decades substantially achieved that milestones of a poverty reduction. Really, I have started hearing for the first time, so to say. So that is a positive side of it. Okay, so that is about ITC that we have studied about. The next organization is OECD, that is Organizations for Economic Cooperation and Development, established way back in 1961 with 38 member countries there. Essentially, it's a developed economy which is a partner to this. Their role is to promote economic growth, global trade, and sustainable development. We have heard this term before because international trade, these are the usual aspects the one should look at. How they do it is working together when the policies are shaped up, so that interests of the developing and transiting economies are taken care of. You create not only equality, but you provide an opportunity to access, thereby the prosperity.